There's a question that I think all of us, there's a question I know that all of us need to answer. It's a very important question, and I hope it's not a question that is going to be misunderstood in how it's asked this morning. But if you're a visitor this morning, you need to ask this question. If you're a member this morning, you need to make sure that you ask this question, you answer this question. It's a rather simple question, and there's only a yes or a no possible answer. There's nothing in between. Have you ever thought about this question, is the Church of Christ for me? I've talked with some who have made comments to the effect of saying, well, you know, I'll just go and look for something else. Or they'll make comments and say, well, you know, I think I might be able to find something better. Is the Church of Christ? And let's be specific. Let's be clear. Is the Church of Christ that we read about in the pages of the Bible, is it for me? Or is there something else? Or is there something better? I want you to use your Bibles this morning. I want us to let the Bible answer this question for us. Not let us figure out the answer. Not let the preacher figure out the answer. Let's let the Bible figure out the answer to this question for each and every one of us. Is the Church of Christ for me? Because you see, when you pick up this book and you begin to read it, what you find about the Church of Christ is that the Church of Christ follows the teachings of Jesus. And if the church that exists in this book is the church that exists today, the Church of Christ will not just follow the teachings of Jesus. The church will follow nothing more and nothing less than what the Bible teaches. With that being the case, ask the question, is the Church of Christ for me? If it's a church, if it's the church that follows nothing more and nothing less than the teachings of Jesus, is that for me? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said that all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Every bit of authority that exists resides in Jesus. Jesus said, based upon that authority, that His words, the ones that we read in this book, that His words would be those that would judge us at the end of time. What else would you want to know than the words of Jesus? What else do you need to know than the words of Jesus? It's in this book and in His New Testament where the Bible teaches us that whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have any authority to do anything other than what the Bible says. All authority resides in Jesus. His word will judge us. Therefore, Colossians 3:17 says, all that we do needs to be done by His authority. We don't have any authority to go beyond the Word of God. We don't have any authority to add to the teachings of Jesus or to take away from the teachings of Jesus or to try to speak or to teach something that is not a part of the teachings of the Word of God. Is the Church of Christ for me? The church that we read about in the pages of this book is the church that follows the teachings of Jesus, nothing more, nothing less. And if I am one who doesn't want to follow the teachings of mankind, if I'm one that I don't really want to follow man's ideas, because you know you never know where that might lead you, I'm not one who wants to rely on human wisdom. If that's not who I am, if I don't want to be subject unto some man's opinions, but I'd rather follow the teachings of Jesus, then you know what? The Church of Christ is for me. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the Lord's church is that which follows the New Testament. But it not only does that, when we come and we pick up the pages of the New Testament, we pick up our Bibles, we see that the Church of Christ originated in the mind of God, not in the mind of man. It originated in the mind of God and was established in Acts chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 3, we learn that the church was a part of God's eternal plan Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11 talks about God's eternal purpose, and a part of that purpose, a part of His plan, even before God created the world, a part of God's plan was His church. Even before He made Adam and Eve, even before they sinned, God already had in His mind His church. And so when you start reading through your Bible, you find passages like Isaiah chapter 2, where the Bible tells us that God promised that He would establish His house. He would establish His house on the top of the mountains there in the city of Jerusalem. God's house is what He promised to establish. When you get to a passage like Daniel chapter 2, instead of using the word house, it uses the word kingdom, where God says that in the days of the Roman kings that He would set up His kingdom and it would never be destroyed. God promised to establish His house. God promised to set up His kingdom. When John the Baptist came on the scene in Matthew 3, when Jesus came preaching in Matthew 4, when He sent His apostles out in Matthew chapter 10, they begin predicting that the coming of this kingdom was just around the corner. All of them were preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God had promised it. He had promised it all throughout the Old Testament. When Jesus comes, He says, it's right here. It is right here at hand. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus used the word church, where He said, I will build My church. God said it's a house. He said it's a kingdom. He said the kingdom is at hand. Jesus said, I will build My church. And He said in the very next verse, I will give unto you the keys to the kingdom. When you read through your Bibles, you begin to see that this church, it's also called the house of God. It's also called the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus began to pinpoint the exact timing or closer timing for the coming of His kingdom. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus looked at those people that were there and He said, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. He said, the kingdom's coming. Not many days later, Jesus died on that cross. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says that when He died on that cross, when He shed His blood, He purchased the church with His own blood. And 51 days later, that church became a reality in Acts chapter 2. The passage that Cam read for us in Acts chapter 2, in verse 47, the Bible says, God added to the church every day those who were being saved. The church that we read about in the Bible is the church that originated in the mind of God before He ever created the world. It's the church that was established in the city of Jerusalem during the days of the Roman kings in Acts chapter 2. If I don't want to be a part of something that was initiated by a man, if I don't want to be a part of a religious organization that was started by a man sometime in the last 1,000 years or so, but I'd rather be a part of something that was in the mind of God and established by the power of God on the pages of the New Testament, then folks, the Church of Christ is for me. But it not only follows the teachings of the New Testament, not only originated on the pages of this book in the mind of God, but something that's unique about the church that we read about in the Bible is that it receives anyone and everyone who obeys. It does that because God is one who the Bible says shows no partiality. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, the old King James says, Peter says, I perceive in truth that God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't show partiality. God doesn't look at the color of your skin or the length of your hair or the color of your hair or your height or your width. He doesn't care. God calls upon His people to act without partiality. God accepts anyone and everyone who obeys the gospel of Christ. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 35, after Peter said, I perceive in truth that God is no respecter of persons, he goes on to say that everyone, in fact the word is whoever, Whoever fears God and works righteousness is accepted by Him. It doesn't matter who you are. If you fear God and obey God's commands, God will accept you. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says that when Jesus died on that cross, He tore down that middle wall of separation between the Jew and the Gentile. And on that occasion, by His blood, the Bible says He reconciled the two, Jew and Gentile, reconciled the two back to one body. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, you are one. You are accepted in Christ by the blood of Jesus. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28 not only mentions Jew and Greek, but it also says male and female, bond or free. Anyone and everyone is accepted in Christ when they obey Him. Everyone, Galatians 3 verse 28, who obeys Christ is one in Him. Go back to Acts chapter 10 and verse 35. Where Peter says, before he said that whoever fears God and works righteousness, before that he said, in every nation. It doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter what country you live in. You do not have more of a right to be a Christian because you're an American than anybody else on this planet. It doesn't matter what nationality you might be. It doesn't matter what ethnicity you might come from. The Bible says, whoever fears God, whatever nation they might be from. It's interesting when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the imagery that Paul gives about the body, about the church in that passage, and how needful every member is to the church. Do you know that God accepts those who are weak? Do you know God accepts, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, He specifically mentions those who are less honorable than others? Those who we might consider, and this word is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, about verse 25, 26. Those who we might consider to be those who are, well, they're unpresentable. God holds them equal in the body of Christ. In the church of Christ, the Lord's church accepts anyone and everyone who obeys the gospel of Christ. In fact, the church accepted the chief of sinners. Paul said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It does not matter what you have done. If the Lord's church in the first century could accept Saul, who had persecuted the church, then the Lord's church in the 21st century can accept you no matter what you have done. If you will come and obey and do what Acts chapter 10 says, fear God and work righteousness. You know, if I don't want to be a part of a group that shows partiality, I don't want to be a part of a group that practices segregation, if I don't want to be a part of a group that maybe votes on membership and that is done in some places, then you know what? The Church of Christ is for me. Number four, something that's unique and something that is appealing to the church is that it is mutually dependent on each other. The Bible describes the church like it's a family. Like it's a body. This isn't some club that you're a part of. This isn't just some organization that you have a membership in. There is a mutual dependence that exists in the body of Christ that is like a family. It's like a family in that the church has a father. And on that father we depend. The church cannot live, it cannot exist, it cannot function without its father. It's just like a family. The church is like a body in that it has a head. The head of the body, the head of the church is Christ. Does your body rely on your head? Could you maybe make it a day or two without your head? Could you lend your head to somebody else, you know, who needs a better head than the one that they have and be okay for a couple days without it? Our bodies rely on our heads to function, to live, to exist. The church cannot exist, cannot function. It cannot be here because it relies on its head, who is Christ. The church is like a family because we've got brothers and sisters. You know, when God added to the church daily those who were being saved, God didn't add one person to the church and they were all by themselves. There were brothers and sisters who were added to that church to care for each other, to watch out for each other. I know in your family you may have had a brother or sister who didn't watch out for you, didn't care for you, maybe fell short in a lot of areas of what a brother or sister should do, but in the body of Christ it's unique. You see, you didn't get to choose your brother or sister when you were born into this world, right? You just got stuck with them. But when I come into the body of Christ, God chooses my brothers and my sisters. Because everyone who obeys the gospel of Christ becomes a part of it. Galatians chapter 6 says, we need to do good unto all. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to do good unto especially the household of faith. The family of faith. The church is like a body. And that Romans chapter 12 says we are members of one another. We belong to each other. We cannot exist without each other. And that reciprocal pronoun, one another, is found throughout the New Testament. It talks about the responsibility that you and I have as members of one another. That we are responsible to love one another, to care for one another, to serve one another, to give preference to one another, to encourage one another, to comfort one another. You see, the church is unique. The Lord's church is unique in that it is mutually dependent, just like a family, just like a body. Is that for you? You know, if I look at the church, if I look at how God describes the church, and if I myself, if I don't want to be a part of a religious group that treats me like I'm just a number, or just an object, or maybe they even treat me like I'm just a donor. If that's not what I want, then the church of Christ is for me. Because that's the church that we read about in the pages of this book. Finally, I want you to think about this. That the church of Christ is eternally destined for heaven. You pick up your Bibles. And I want you to think about this. I want you to follow what the Bible teaches in this regard. The church of Christ, the church that was established in the New Testament, the one that was bought by the blood of Jesus, the one that God brought into existence in Acts chapter 2, is eternally destined for heaven. You see, the Bible says that only those who are in the church are saved. Look at Acts chapter 2 in the passage that Cam read. Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they were told in verse 38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. They could not be saved from their sins unless they repented and were baptized. They would be saved. What would happen to them then? Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. The Bible says, and those that gladly received his word, they were baptized. Well, what happened when they were baptized? Their sins were forgiven, verse 38. They were baptized. What happened? And they were added unto them. They were added unto what? What does verse 47 say? The Lord added unto the church daily. Who did he add to the church? Those who were being saved. In Acts chapter 2, could you be a part of the church if you weren't saved? God was only adding to the church those people who had done what he said and were saved. You cannot be a part of the church unless you're saved. The Bible also says that only those who are saved will go to heaven. The Bible says nothing that defiles shall enter into the gates of heaven. Only those who have had their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. The church of Christ is eternally destined for heaven. That's what Scripture teaches. Look at it another way. Another word that's used for the word church is the word body. Only those who are in the body of Christ are in Christ. Can you be in the body of Christ and not be in Christ? It's impossible. Those who are a part of His body, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, are also in Christ. And the Bible says that only those who are in Christ have the inheritance of heaven, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Look at it another way. We look at the word church. Another word for the word church is the body. Another word for the church is the family of God. Only those who obey God can be called children of God. Only those who obey God can actually be in the family, can actually be in the church. Think about what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8. You begin in verse 13, you can go all the way down to about verse 17, where the Bible says that the Spirit of God, it approves of our spirit when we are obedient in order that we might be called the children of God. Only when we obey can we be called God's children. And in that same verse, I've got Matthew chapter 25 in the next line. But even in that same passage in verse 17, it says that we are then joint heirs. The only ones who will go to heaven are God's children. Because the Bible says they will receive their inheritance. The inheritance belongs only to children. You must be a child of God in order to be given the inheritance of heaven. Look at it in one other way. We've looked at it from the standpoint of the church. And only those who are in the church will go to heaven, because you've got to be saved to be in the church. Looked at it from the standpoint of the body. You've got to be in the body to be in Christ, and only those who are in Christ are going to heaven. We looked at it from the standpoint of the family, another word used for the church. But you've got to obey to be a child of God, because only children of God go to heaven. There's another word that's used for church, and that's the word kingdom. We saw that when God promised to send His kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom will come with power. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. Only those who do God's will are in His kingdom. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, who shall enter the kingdom of heaven? He who does the will of my Father in heaven. Only those who are obedient to the will of God can be in the kingdom. Well, why is that important? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, the Bible says, then the end comes when Jesus returns. The Bible says when Jesus returns, He will deliver the kingdom to the Father. The only ones who will be delivered to the Father and go to heaven are those who are a part of the kingdom of God. What do we know about the church that we read about in the Bible? This church is eternally destined for heaven. Isn't that the church that you want to be a part of? You know, if I don't want to listen to what man might tell me about how to get to heaven, if I'd rather listen to what the Bible tells me about how to get to heaven, then the church of Christ is for me. You see, the reality is that when we ask this question, is the church of Christ for me? And you begin to look at these five things that we've talked about. Following the teachings of Jesus originated in the mind of God. Receives anyone and everyone who obeys. He's one who is mutually dependent. The church is upon each other. And that this church is eternally destined for heaven. You see, it is for me. Because if this church is not for me, where else would I go? If the church that I read about in the Bible is not for me, if I decide that, where else would I turn? Why else would I turn? Where would acceptance be found in the eyes of God in any other place than the church that He put on this earth? God said His kingdom would be set up and it would stand forever. The very church that God established in the Bible is still in existence today. And it can only be in existence, and it can only be found by those who follow what He says, nothing more and nothing less. I want you to think about these things today. I hope you've taken notes, and I hope you've thought about these things. Because when we talk about the church that we read about in the Bible, we're not talking about multiple choice. We're not talking about opening up the yellow pages and just finding something that looks good. We're talking about opening these pages and finding the only thing that looks good in the eyes of God. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that there is only one body. That's what it says. There's only one body. There's only one church. There's only one family. There's only one kingdom. And the Bible tells us that there is only one way to get into it. As we close today, I want you to reflect upon what the Bible says in this regard. We've talked about the Bible, or we've talked about the church, and how the church is described in the Bible as a body. It is described as the family of God. It's described as the kingdom of God. You cannot be in the church and not be in Christ. There's only one body. The Bible says there's only one way into that body. How does one get into the church of Christ? Look at Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, what were they told? They were pricked in their hearts and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Those who gladly received His word were baptized. What happened to those who were baptized? They were saved. What happened to those who were saved? They were added to the church. How does one get into the church of Christ? The only way he can do it is to be baptized. How does one get into the body of Christ? Could you get into the body in a different way that you could get into the church? If the church is the body and the body is the church, then surely you get into them the same way, don't you? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. The Bible says, "For by one Spirit we have all been baptized into one body." There's only one body. There's only one way into that one body. That's by being baptized. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. How does one become a child of God? Galatians chapter 3. How does one become a child of God? "For we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How does one become a child of God? Starts with faith. And when that faith is enacted, verse 27 says, that person will be baptized into Christ to put on Christ. You cannot become a child of God. You cannot enter into the family of God unless you're baptized for the remission of your sins. How does one get into the kingdom of God? Could you get into the kingdom differently than you get into the church or the body or the family? When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Jesus said, "Unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the" what? "He cannot enter the kingdom of God." How does one get into the kingdom? Jesus said he cannot get into the kingdom unless he's baptized, born of water and the Spirit. How does one get into Christ? Maybe I don't want to have anything to do with the church. I'll just take Christ. I don't need the church. You can't have one without the other. You can't have the head without the body. But could you get into Christ in a different manner than you would get into the church? We already saw one verse in Galatians 3 and verse 27 that says not. The other passage is in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. The Bible says, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death?" How did they get into Christ? They were baptized into Christ. There's only one way into the one body, into the one church. I know there are some here this morning who are saying, "Well, it's a pretty narrow sermon." And those are thoughts that are not shared by many in the religious world today. And might even say that such a proposition might even be considered arrogant or self-pleasing in some way. I hope my spirit has not gotten in the way of the message today. And I hope that my spirit has not come across in such a way that it would tarnish the message of God. What does the Bible say about the church of Christ? I'm not talking about something that is on the side of a building. Not talking about what we might call this place. I'm talking about what does the Bible say about the Church of Christ? And if the Church of Christ existed on these pages and I can come to it and use it as my pattern to find, the Church of Christ can exist today. And the only way the Church of Christ can exist in this place is not because we put the name on the side of a building. It's because we follow without addition or subtraction to the teachings of Jesus. If that doesn't appeal to you, then the Church of Christ that's in the Bible is not for you. But there's no other choice. There's no other option. If it does appeal to you, then why don't you this morning repent, just like they were told in that passage that we read in Acts 2. Repent and be baptized to have all of your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, to be added to His one body, His one church, His one family, His one kingdom, to be put into Christ. Why don't you make up your mind today that from this day forward, you will live faithfully till the day that you die. If we can help you in any way this morning, please come as together we stand and sing.